your NXT TakeOver 36 review with a monster who's been live streaming 5 days in a row and a podcast. Does he have a voice still?
Is that my voice? Is that my voice? Oh, well.
We're going to find out right now. The Sala Monster.
Tonight was the end of an era for NXT. Final takeover before what effectively is going to be a reboot of the NXT brand. This was confirmed earlier today by Nick Khan in an interview with Ariel Helwani. I tweeted earlier, I said, you know, Rampage was the CM Punk show on Friday night. It was all about CM Punk. The rest of the show didn't even really matter. The tag match was good, but otherwise the show was very forgettable. It was just, it was all about that one thing. SummerSlam last night was a mixed bag of a show. There was some good, there was some bad, there was some ugly. And I said, tonight is going to be the best wrestling show of the week. And it delivered. NXT TakeOver lived up to its expectation. It is very rare that you get a bad TakeOver show. Some are better than others, but TakeOver is usually reliably a very good show or an excellent show. You know, obviously, a lot of the recent ones have not taken place in front of bigger buildings like it used to be since the pandemic. So it's been, you know, lacking something in that respect because they're not back in the bigger buildings yet. But you can always rely on TakeOver to get a great show. And I feel like when this show ended tonight, we got exactly that. In fact, I think the weakest thing on the entire show was the main event. And the main event was not bad. It was not a bad match, but you know, as compared to all of the other matches up and down the card, excusing the kickoff match on the pre-show, which was a minute long, that was actually the weakest part of the entire show. We don't know what the new NXT is going to look like. We don't know. I have a lot of concerns about the future of NXT now that we know that these changes are going to be made. This is what Nick Khan had to say, part of what he had to say in that interview with Ariel Helwani. He said, we are doing a complete revamp of NXT, led by Paul Levesque. Everything is going to change. Look for it in the next couple of weeks. It is going to have a whole new look. It is going to have a whole new feel. And we believe because a lot of the indie wrestlers, if you will, have come through our system and are in our system with SmackDown and Raw right now, we don't want to just keep doing that same thing. We want to look elsewhere for great young talent. So that is directly from Nick Khan. Changes are coming. This is no longer rumor and speculation. Changes are coming. And I've read stuff about a new logo. I've read stuff about a new way the show is going to be shot or filmed. I've read that they're not happy with how dark it comes across on TV, which it does. I mean, in the CWC, it is darker than it used to look. So they're probably going to go ahead and light that thing up like a Christmas tree and make it all bright. So there's going to be some cosmetic changes. I'm less interested in the cosmetic changes. And I'm more interested in what's going on in the hood underneath. And that goes to the heart of what he was talking about as far as recruiting new talent. They had a tryout in Vegas this weekend. They were in Vegas, obviously, for SummerSlam. And with this tryout, it was pretty much comprised almost entirely of athletes who never stepped foot inside of a ring, were not trained in any way to be professional wrestlers. That is what WWE is looking for going forward. They want to be able to take somebody who has no prior wrestling knowledge and who has no prior wrestling experience and shape them and mold them the way that WWE wants them to be. And if that's the system that they have in place, then hey, it makes sense. If they want everybody to be trained the same way and everybody to look the same way, more or less, and everybody to wrestle the same way, then that's the system that they have now set up for. I don't believe that that makes for a very interesting product. I like when you bring in people who look differently, who wrestle differently, who bring in wrestling from all different countries and all different styles, whether it's Japan, whether it's Europe, whether it's Lucha Libre, whether it's, you know, some other type of submission wrestling, whatever it may be. And you kind of blend all of those styles together. And just based on the way that they are now going to be recruiting talent, it doesn't look like we're going to get that. And it's nice to have someone like an Odyssey Jones, who may well go on to win the breakout tournament, and he's a big guy, and he's a charismatic guy, and I think he can go on to become a big star. But do you really want an entire roster full of an Odyssey Jones and people who look like that, and put less of an emphasis on the people who have that experience, who are going to go out there and give you matches like we saw tonight on this TakeOver show? Look at the best matches that we had on the card tonight. Look at Adam Cole against Kyle O'Reilly. Look at Walter against Ilya Dragunov. And Walter is well-traveled. Walter has wrestled all over the place in different promotions and in independent promotions. Cameron Grimes, all of these people came from somewhere else. They're the ones who are going out there and having these classic matches and telling these stories in the ring that make people jump out of their seat and get excited and think of NXT TakeOver as the best wrestling show out there. When you get one of these TakeOver shows, you know that you are going to get some of the best wrestling on the planet, no matter what's happening on the weekly NXT show or how boring it might be. When we get to take over, it's like a switch gets flipped, and you know what you're in for. And now we don't know what we're in for going forward. And it may take a while for these changes to take effect. You know, it's not going to be an overnight thing. The next takeover maybe won't look all that different than some of the recent ones. But 6 months from now, a year from now, what is NXT going to look like? That is the big question mark. Right now, nobody knows the answer. Based on how WWE approaches some of these things, I think it's safe to say that it's a little concerning. For tonight, though, whatever the future may hold, we got a professional wrestling show that kicked ass. We got a traditional takeover show with a focus on great pro wrestling and great storytelling in the main event, which, again, I thought was the weakest match on the entire show, which is not saying it was a bad match, but it wasn't as good as everything else that we saw. But we did see a new NXT champion crowned. Samoa Joe, as predicted, is the new NXT champion, the first ever three-time holder of the NXT championship. Karrion Kross, already on Monday Night Raw. No reason for him to continue holding that championship. Get that thing off of him and send him on his way. I wish him all the best. He's going to need it. But there's certainly no need to keep that championship on him anymore. And Samoa Joe is the new NXT champion. We'll talk about that match. We'll talk about Walter and Ilya Dragunov. The king has been dethroned. It felt coming into me like this was the time. This was going to be it. 870 days as the United Kingdom champion for Walter. This felt like it was going to be the crowning of a new king. And that is what we had tonight. This right here. If this match that we saw tonight for that UK title gets topped, gets bested by another match for Match of the Year honors, then I can't wait to watch that match because I thought this was the best match all year. Certainly the best match that I've seen. We had Adam Cole. A lot of questions surrounding Adam Cole. Was he going to win? Was he going to lose? It always seemed pretty predictable to me that he was going to walk out of here with a loss, whether or not he's sticking around in WWE or NXT or not, because the story itself dictated that Kyle O'Reilly should go over here. And that's what we had tonight. Kyle O'Reilly walks away victorious in the 2 out of 3 falls match. That did not seem to make the crowd in the COVID Coliseum very happy tonight. They did not seem very happy about Kyle O'Reilly going over in that match. PW Insider confirms that tonight was the final time we are going to see Adam Cole in an NXT ring. This was Adam Cole's NXT send-off here tonight. That much we now know that is confirmed. What we don't know is whether or not that means he's moving up to Raw or SmackDown, or if he's leaving WWE altogether. But perhaps we have a clue, because the Young Bucks, during the show tonight, put a new bio up on their Twitter page, which was a link to a YouTube video, and it was a YouTube video about the most infamous seances in history, trying to raise the dead. Now, why would they post a video about seances? Could it potentially have something to do with the being the elite storyline of Adam Cole being a ghost and Adam Cole being killed and poisoned many years ago on the show by the Young Bucks? Maybe. Could be that the Young Bucks are trolling? Very possible. Or it could be a sign of something else. Where is Adam Cole going to turn up as soon as this week? Because remember, when your contract runs out, you don't have a non-compete clause. You are free to go wherever, whenever. Might we see Adam Cole walk out in Milwaukee on Dynamite this Wednesday? There's a lot of rumors going around that Tony Khan is not yet done with the major acquisitions. There could be more names, not counting Bryan Danielson. There could be more names yet to come. Adam Cole would fit like a glove. Like the glove that Britt Baker puts on her hand when she puts Lockjaw on her opponents. He would fit like a glove in AEW. I think we're going to find out very soon what his future holds. The kickoff match tonight was Ridge Holland taking on Trey Baxter, or as I call Ridge Holland, Baby Brock, because there are certain characteristics about him that remind me of Brock Lesnar. Now we actually have Brock Lesnar back. Ridge Holland, of course, now looks nothing like Brock Lesnar, given that he's got the Viking ponytail going on. But he took on Trey Baxter. This was a squash, pretty much. Trey Baxter tried. He got some offense in. This went less than 2 minutes. And Holland ended up putting him down with the brainbuster. He calls it Northern Grit for the win. He took the microphone when the match was over. Pete Dunne was with him. And he called out Timothy Thatcher. He said that what Timothy Thatcher just watched is exactly what is in his future. So they're setting up a match between Holland and Thatcher, which actually I think has the potential to be pretty enjoyable. I enjoy both men, their work. Ridge Holland, we haven't seen too much of him. He's really only getting back into the thick of things since he came back from that horrific injury. It's still, honestly, it's very surprising to me that he came back as quickly as he did. I mean, when you think about how his legs just snapped. Ugh. But it's good to see him back. We open the NXT TakeOver portion of the festivities tonight with one of the matches I was most looking forward to, which is Cameron Grimes challenging LA Knight for the $1 million championship. If Grimes loses, Ted DiBiase has to become LA Knight's new butler. And Ted DiBiase was out first with a trash can that a bunch of stagehands brought out, and they put the trash can right next to him. Out comes Cameron Grimes, and he's wearing his butler gear, and he takes off the outfit, and he throws it in the garbage, and he's wearing a vest that has the money signs on it. So LA Knight gets up in Grimes' face. He gets slapped for his troubles, and Grimes goes on the offense. He goes for the $1 million dream, and LA Knight rolls out to the floor, gets caught by a kick, and Cameron Grimes sends him into the barricade. There's a great spot here where Ted DiBiase Irish whipped Cameron Grimes to kind of give him some momentum and give him some speed. And as he was coming in, he hit a shotgun dropkick to LA Knight. Back in the ring, Grimes climbed up the ropes. Knight tripped him up, though. He takes control at that point, goes on offense. Grimes comes back, hits a running crossbody. And he counters a corner neck breaker, goes for a Hurricane Rana, but Knight turns it into a powerbomb for a near fall. So these guys are, you know, they're getting into it here. I've enjoyed the matches that these two have had before. So they have some chemistry together. I think that these two work well together. Grimes makes his comeback, running forearms, corner senton. He goes for the $1 million dream. LA Knight fights out of it. Grimes hits a German suplex and a Hurricane Rana cradle for a near fall. So they're trading strikes, and this is actually one of the scary parts of the match. They're trading strikes. Knight sends Grimes out to the floor. Grimes, though, skins the cat, pulls himself back over the top rope into the ring, and, you know, Cameron Grimes has this, it's like a backflip power slam-like move. I don't know, just based on the laws of physics, I don't know how you pull off a move like that. It's always very impressive when he hits it. And he hit it this time, but unfortunately, he also landed on his face. He didn't quite get the complete. He got about 97% of the rotation. And it looked like he landed on his face. He went for the cover. LA Knight kicked out. And when Cameron Grimes came up, you could tell he was bleeding around the eye. So he busted himself open. The referee put the gloves on. So that was a little scary right there. Grimes locked down the million-dollar dream, and LA Knight almost broke the hold. Got a jackknife cradle. But Grimes rolled through and kept the hold applied. He never let go of it. The referee, from my view, the referee clearly counted three before Grimes rolled through to continue the sequence. It looked like she counted three. That did not look good. But he kept the hold applied, and after a struggle by LA Knight, he sent Grimes into the turnbuckle in the corner to force a break. So now we come to the finish of the match. LA Knight goes to the floor. He grabs the million-dollar championship, and he brings it into the ring with him. Grimes, though, hits a high kick to stop him in his tracks. Out on the floor, Ted DiBiase, after Knight rolls out to the floor, DiBiase, when the referee's attention is diverted, he nails a right hand. Payback for the times that LA Knight caught him with a right hand, including on NXT last week. He punched him when DiBiase was doing commentary. So DiBiase this time got a punch of his own. And back inside, actually before the final move of the match, DiBiase not only punched him, but then they got the referee distracted a second time. She's very easily distracted, this woman. And DiBiase locks the million-dollar dream on LA Knight. Could be the last time we ever see Ted DiBiase applying the million-dollar dream. Now, it looked very weak. It actually looked ridiculous having to watch LA Knight sell for this. They got like a close-up view of it, too. It did not look good. But after that, rolled LA Knight into the ring. And Cameron Grimes hit the best-looking cave-in. You guys know, if you've listened to my NXT reviews on the main podcast, I'm not really a fan of the cave-in. A lot of times, I just don't think it looks good. Just visually, unless he hits it just right, I don't think it's a good finishing move. It doesn't look devastating enough to me. I feel like it should have more impact. And he's a smaller guy. He should do something that has a little, packs more of a punch. But here, this was probably the best-looking cave-in I have ever seen him use in a match. He caved this guy in with a double stomp. He went for the pin. And just like that, Cameron Grimes is the new million-dollar champion. And so goes the lineage of the championship. From Ted DiBiase to Virgil to the Ringmaster to Ted DiBiase Jr. to LA Knight and now to Cameron Grimes. Wow, well, what a title history that is. That was Steve Austin before he became Stone Cold, but you look at that and it's like, eh. As prestigious as the million-dollar title is supposed to be, the lineage of the title leaves a lot to be desired. Cameron Grimes is the new million-dollar champion. I thought it was a great payoff to a fun story. I've enjoyed following along with all the segments and all the skits on TV for the last few months, really. This has been going on for. You knew that this was going to be the payoff at some point. It felt like the right time to go ahead and put the belt on Cameron Grimes. Right, you can't screw the guy over so many times. You got to give him the payoff at some point. So I enjoyed this, and I think these are two guys right here who, I don't know where Cameron Grimes and LA Knight, who have been to a lot of different places, and LA Knight is actually a bit on the older side. I don't know where these two guys would fit in the future vision for what they have of NXT. So I think these two right now would be great fits for the Raw or SmackDown roster. They would fit either show if I had any faith in them to do anything with these guys. I think Knight would have a better shot for obvious reasons, just based on his look. And look, the guy has a lot of charisma. LA Knight is the total package in terms of what I think they would be looking for. You know, he's not like a big, big guy, but he's got decent size. He looks great. He can cut a promo and he can work. So I don't see what's really missing here. There's no reason he can't go to SmackDown and become a player on that roster. I think he would be better than most. Cameron Grimes, I've said before, I think has the potential, if the fans get behind him because he's so likable, to be a Daniel Bryan type who gets over naturally and organically with the fans getting behind him. Even if the company doesn't really get behind him at that level, the fans might. He could be one day a breakout Daniel Bryan type babyface on the main roster. We have a draft supposedly coming up in October. I wouldn't be shocked to see both of these guys end up drafted to one show or the other. As far as the million-dollar title is concerned, I really don't know where you go from here. They did have a segment later in the show where Cameron Grimes was with DiBiase, and they were about to go out for a night on the town and party and celebrate. But I think the title has served its purpose now. I mean, where do you really go from here? I mean, this is not an officially recognized championship. It's like the FTW title in AEW, right? What really is the purpose of it? I know Ricky Starks is walking around with the FTW title, but it's not an officially recognized championship, and it barely gets defended. So what's the point? Why even have it? I think the title was resurrected for this story. The story is now over. I don't think there's any need to keep it around anymore. Frankly, while I enjoy seeing the Million Dollar Man and hearing his theme music, I think that the story is over. There's no need for him to stick around either. I think that they got what they needed to out of this. I think that coupled with the reset that we might be seeing very soon on the show, I think spells the end probably of DiBiase on NXT. And I think Cameron Grimes probably, my prediction would be he ends up giving the belt back. You know, it's almost like I climbed the mountain, I fulfilled the dream, I became the million-dollar champion, and Ted, I appreciate everything you've done for me, and I appreciate you believing in me, but now it's time for me to spread my wings and move on to even bigger and better things. And that's it. And he gives the belt back, and the million-dollar belt ends up back in storage. That's where I think this is going to go. Back in the vault. Shout out to everybody joining tonight. Stephen Field just dropped a $50 super chat. I saw that. I saw the pink or the fuchsia out of the corner of my eye. Thank you, Stephen. We'll get to your message and everybody else is here in a little bit. This is, by the way, the final stream of the weekend. I finally made it. We have made it to Sunday night. It's been a long week. I've already done over 12 hours of audio and video this week, not counting tonight. I'm exhausted. I got maybe 3 hours of sleep last night after SummerSlam because I didn't expect that show to go as late as it did. But we still had over 2,000 people hanging out at 3 o'clock in the morning. You guys were unbelievable. And so tonight it was nice to end with a great wrestling show, and we'll have fun here on the final stream of the weekend. Dakota Kai challenging Raquel Gonzalez for the NXT Women's Championship. Another match I was looking forward to on this show. Dakota was using her speed to avoid Raquel's attacks early on and trying to frustrate her. Got a cross arm breaker on. Gonzalez fought out of it. Was looking for a power bomb, but Dakota hit a scorpion kick. Back in the ring, Raquel hit a series of power slams, and Dakota came back with a diving crossbody. Raquel, though, rolled through and dropped her over the ropes. Kai snapped Gonzalez's arm over the top rope and hit a Yakuza kick, and she rolled Raquel back into the ring for a near fall. Followed that up with a draping face breaker. Gonzalez gave Kai a sidewalk slam and a twisting Vader bomb. That's the move that knocked Xia Li silly weeks ago on NXT television, knocked the wind right out of her. Raquel went for the Uranage, but Dakota reversed it into an armbar, and Raquel broke the hold, slamming Dakota's head into the middle turnbuckle. Raquel blocked Dakota's scorpion kick, gave her a spinning sit-out powerbomb for a near fall. So then Dakota gives Raquel a super kick that Raquel no-sells. She no-sells the kick, and Dakota gave her a code red lung blower for a two count. Raquel went for her finisher after fighting back. Dakota gave her a Hurricane Rana, sent her outside the ring. Dakota gave her a top rope double stomp for a near fall. Raquel reversed a gut wrench and sent Dakota into the top buckle as we got to the finish here. Dakota punched her away, and Raquel got back up to the top rope. Dakota slipped out, gave Gonzalez a pump kick, and she tried to go for her finish. She went for the Yakuza kick, but as she was coming into the corner, so you got to picture this now, Raquel is on the rope. She's perched on the top rope, and here comes Dakota Kai. She's circling around the ring. She's going for that Yakuza kick, and as she comes in for the kick, Raquel catches her. She powers her up, so now she lifts her up into the air on the top rope with her, and she hits her finish off the top rope for the win. I thought this was a very good match. where Dakota Kai, who is a small woman relative to Raquel Gonzalez, Raquel definitely has the size advantage here. Even though there was a very noticeable size difference between these two, I thought her offense looked believable. So in spite of the size difference, I thought it was believable enough, the match that these two were able to pull off here. All of a sudden, as Raquel is celebrating, we hear music that I honestly didn't recognize because obviously I'm not watching NXT UK every week. And out comes Kaylee Ray, who I know is the longest reigning NXT UK women's champion of all time. Now, there have only been about four champions. Mako Satomura is the current champion. She ended Kaylee Ray's reign a number of months ago. But out walks Kaylee Ray, and it looks as if they're teasing that she's going to be Raquel's next challenger. Kaylee Ray on NXT. So that tells me there may not be any rematch with Dakota unless they just do one on TV in the next few weeks. They could certainly, you know, do another one in a couple of weeks on NXT if they want. But it looks like this issue with Dakota is over, and I said this on the podcast earlier. I think part of the reason I said that I thought Raquel was going to win is because Dakota Kai was brought up for a main event match against Aaliyah a few weeks ago. That was when they completely disregarded everything that was going on with her in NXT. On NXT, she's a heel, and she was challenging a takeover for the championship. So what did they do? They put her on main event, they made her a babyface, and she lost because they don't give a shit what the ongoing creative is on NXT. They don't care. But it tells me that there's at least some interest in calling her up to Raw or SmackDown. And if that's the case, then she wasn't going to win the championship here, and she didn't. And so that tells me that we may be seeing Dakota Kai pop up on another show very soon. And then we got to the real main event of this show. This was my favorite match of the night, and this was probably my favorite match of the year. The match I was most looking forward to. Walter against Ilya Dragunov for the NXT United Kingdom Championship. 870 days coming into this for Walter as the NXT UK champion. He is the closest thing that brand has to a Bruno Sammartino. Because you don't find too many people who have reigns of 870 days. Now, Bruno's reign was like thousands of days, but you don't find too many championship reigns that last this long. The last match that these two had in October, and I was told by a lot of people, you gotta watch this match, you gotta watch this, so I watched it. And I was blown away by what I saw. I had known Ilya Dragunov a little bit about him. I saw some of his matches. I can remember the match he had at one of the takeovers a few years ago against Cesaro. He looked very impressive, but I hadn't seen him in a while. And I watched that match that they had in October on the NXT UK TV episode. And that was my match of the year for all of WWE. That was my match of the year last year. So I had high hopes going into this match. I was hoping that I wasn't setting my expectations too high. I was trying not to get ahead of myself, but I was very excited to see what these two would pull off here. And what we got was another, I think I referred to their first match this way, a beautiful symphony of violence. That just seems like a perfect description for what we saw here tonight. A symphony of violence. And somehow I thought it was even better than the match they had last year. That's a subjective thing. You may think the other match was better than this. I thought this was the better of the two matches. But they were both fantastic. And what they did here was, in my opinion, just from the... not just the violence, I guess, and the actual match itself. But again, the story they were telling. David and Goliath. You know, Walter had the size advantage. Walter is the final boss who can't be beat. But no matter what he did to this guy would not quit. And they told the story on commentary that his son, you know, Dragunov's son, was watching from home and he was doing this for his son. He dedicated this to his son. He was going to bring the championship home to his son. And this guy would not quit. He can take abuse like you've never seen before. And he kept fighting back. And that was the story throughout the entire match. That this guy, David, would not give up until he slayed the king. Which in the end, he was able to do. Dragunov came out, he had a bandage above his eye that very quickly he ripped off in the first few minutes of the match. That was from that wound that got stitched up from his match with Roderick Strong on Tuesday. I mean, he got a bad gash too. I mean, it's a noticeable, I don't know how many stitches there were, And I was surprised he didn't get opened up here and wasn't bleeding all over the place like he was earlier this week. By the way, shout out to Savon Watson, who just became a new channel member. Welcome to the Sound Off channel. Everybody can welcome Savon, who's now part of our family. So Dragunov kept avoiding Walter's offense. He was really trying to frustrate him, and Walter was. He was getting very frustrated early on. He just couldn't, you know, he couldn't slow this guy, couldn't neutralize this guy. Dragunov went for a key lock. Walter powered out and perched him up on the top rope. Hit a huge overhand chop. You talk about a bear chop. Like Keith Lee's got those bear paws that he does to people. That ain't nothing compared to Walter. And that sent Dragunov crashing down to the floor. His grandkids are going, I mean, fuck his son. I mean, his grandkids are going to feel that. Out on the floor, Walter delivered an apron powerbomb. Back inside, he turned Dragunov over into a Boston Crab before transitioning into an STF. Welcome, Red Ranger. It's a sound-off superstar just joined. Shout out to the Red Ranger. No relation to the Lone Ranger. Or the Texas Rangers, I hope. So Dragunov, he fired back with right hands and turned a lariat into a takedown. Started laying in some knees and back fists. Walter was seated in the ring, and he's just pummeling him. And Walter, then he blocks an octopus attempt. Picks Dragunov up, but Dragunov fights out and catches Walter with a knee strike. So Walter hits a chop to Dragunov's back. This is not the average chop. It's a small building that they have there at the CWC. So these chops, they reverberate and echo in a way that it wouldn't if they were in a bigger building. That's one of the benefits, I guess, of being in a small venue like this. I mean, you could hear that chop from probably whatever, wherever the back of the building was. You would think it was like a shotgun blast, like a gunshot going off. Dragunov hit a back chop of his own after Walter hit him with one, followed by a German suplex. Walter came back with a chop. Dragunov hit an enziguri and hit a pump handle suplex for two. So Dragunov climbs the ropes. He hits a diving drop kick off the top, and then he climbs to the opposite corner and he hits a top rope senton. And Walter counters the Torpedo Moscow, which is his finish. He counters it into a sleeper suplex. Dragunov, though, gets up. He hits the Torpedo Moscow to the back of Walter's head. He hits the Torpedo Moscow again for a great near fall. Walter then scales the ropes, and Dragunov pops up, and he hits an immediate superplex off the top rope, followed by a missile drop kick, and both guys are down. The fans at this point in the building are going nuts. And what I think is most impressive about this match, these guys are from the NXT UK brand. They're not from the main NXT brand. In fact, the only time these people have really been exposed live to Dragunov is when he made his debut about 2 or 3 weeks ago on TV. That was the very first time he set foot at the Capitol Wrestling Center. Walter, I think by now people know who he is. I mean, for God's sakes, the guy's been champion for over 800 days. But these are not, you know, the typical wrestlers that you would find on the NXT brand. Now you're doing this match here on American soil. You're doing this in front of an audience that maybe is going to be unfamiliar with these guys and their work. So you don't know how they're going to react. You don't know if they're going to get a great reaction. You don't know if people are going to sit on their hands during the match, if they're going to be bored by what they're seeing. Well, you don't have to worry about that. These people were into it. At this point, they were going crazy. They were chanting, "This is awesome." These people were pumped. They were into this, as I think most people watching at home were. Either that or you don't have a pulse. I know I was. I was into it at this point. So Walter hits a shotgun dropkick. Walter hits a shotgun dropkick. Very impressive. Gets a stacked powerbomb for a near fall. Walter slaps Dragunov across the face, hits a running knee, followed by a powerbomb. And he then climbs the ropes, hits a top rope splash. That is the move that Walter used on Pete Dunne to win the championship back at TakeOver New York. In 2019, I was there. I saw him coming off the top rope. Air Walter. That's what started this entire championship run. And he hits the same move here to Dragunov, and Dragunov kicks out. Great near fall. Dragunov comes back, starts raining down elbows, and locks on a sleeper hold. And Walter now, he's trying to fight out of this. He's got this sleeper hold locked on. It's an act of desperation. He's trying to find some way to take this man down. And Walter is trying to fight out of this now. He starts climbing the ropes with Dragunov on his back. And then, and it looked a little clumsy, actually. It looked a little awkward. But he falls backwards to try to break the hold, which he was able to. But Dragunov popped up. He laid in some more elbows. He locks on the sleeper again. And again, Walter gets back to his feet. He falls backwards to try to break the hold. But this time, Dragunov does not let go. He does not release the hold. And he starts laying in some desperation strikes before locking it on again. And this time, Walter taps out. And the place goes nuts. They ring the bell. Walter has been dethroned, and Ilya Dragunov, with broken blood vessels that are visible in his chest and the skin, under the skin on his neck, this man has been tortured. He has been abused during this match. He had a fight through hell. But in the end, he perseveres, and he picks up the win. And Ilya Dragunov is the new United Kingdom champion. And that right there is your match of the year so far for 2021. That gets my vote. This was a fucking battle. And I loved every second of it. This was great. This was pro wrestling. And what makes Walter so great is, because it's very easy, I think, to look at someone like Walter. Walter is not a flashy guy. He doesn't come out in a fancy sequin robe. He doesn't go out there and cut promos, you know, where he's this great charismatic guy like an LA Knight or something like that. He doesn't go out there and do comedy. There's nothing funny about Walter. He's not, out there trying to make people laugh. He's trying to make people cry is what he's trying to do. He's trying to make the people he's in the ring with cry and regret the fact that they stepped in the ring with him in the first place. What makes Walter work and so great at everything he does is that everything he does is believable. Everything he does is believable, it is authentic, and it really does feel like whoever is in the ring with him has to work. They have to earn it. They get put through the ringer every time. They're in the fight of their life. That's what it felt like for Dragunov tonight. This guy was in the fight of his life. And that's what I like about Walter's matches. He's the classic case to me of don't judge a book by its cover. Because once you start flipping those pages and reading the story, all of a sudden you realize what makes it so great. That's Walter. So Dragunov beat Walter into submission. I thought that what they were going to do is have the finish with Walter passing out in the sleeper hold. And you know what? If they did that, that would have been okay. I thought that's where they were going. I love the fact that they had Walter struggle and fight and fight and try to get out of it. And in the end, when he realized that there was no way out, he actually tapped out. He put Dragunov over here as big as he possibly could. He put him over as the new king by tapping out the way that he did. And I said it on the sound off. Dragunov, was going to win the title. And I figured, not only would he win the championship, but that meant that Walter would then shift over, as Kaylee Ray has, apparently. Walter would shift over as the longest reigning NXT UK champion of all time, much the same way the longest reigning NXT UK women's champion has now done. He would transition over to the main brand. He would transition over to the main NXT roster and have a whole new slate of opponents to work with, and he would have a whole new championship now to go after. I don't know if he fits in with whatever this new vision is going to be of NXT going forward. They may not want him. They may say, nope, we're going in a different direction. They'd be fucking dumb. Because you can still take your product in a different direction with different talent, but have people like Walter for them to work with. So if Walter, for whatever reason, didn't fit into the vision of what NXT is, that's not a very good vision. If you can't find a reason to keep Walter on your roster. So I hope they could work something out where even if he doesn't live here full time, he could still be part of that NXT brand, because I think that would be the next logical step for him. And if they had, look, if this company had any sense about them, they would make some kind of amazing offer to Walter, even if he was part-time and flying back and forth between the U.S. and Europe. He would be on the Raw or SmackDown roster. If these people on the main roster, with their writing, had any sense about how to book someone like Walter and treated him almost like Lesnar-esque. Not that Walter is the level of star that Brock Lesnar is, but the way they book Brock Lesnar, he is protected. Because they have an investment in this guy. He is a big star. He is a major name. And frankly, Brock is not going to be forced to do something he doesn't want to do. So Brock Lesnar is as protected as anybody, with the exception maybe of Roman Reigns at this point, on that roster. If they treated Walter in a similar way, I guarantee you, Walter would get over in front of those fans on Raw and SmackDown, the mainstream audience, every bit as much as he did tonight in front of these fans in Orlando. It might take some time because, again, they may look at him and go, hey, what's the big deal? But I guarantee you Walter would get over. And he would be having matches like this on the main roster with all of those guys. And he would be killing it. But I have no faith in them to do that. Vince McMahon would look at Walter. He would not have a fucking clue what to do with this guy. And we already know that based on how he was used that one Survivor Series where he got pinned and eliminated in the first 2.5 minutes of that Survivor Series match. So fuck that. I don't want to see him on either of those shows. But NXT itself, that to me seems like the next logical step for Walter. Especially given now who has the NXT championship and what match that could potentially set up. But we'll get to that in a second. Mackenzie Mitchell was in the back, and this is the segment I mentioned earlier where she was interviewing Cameron Grimes and Ted DiBiase. They were about to hit the town. It's like father and son about to go out and party. It doesn't seem very cool, but when you have money to throw around, I guess you can pretty much do whatever you want. Backstage, William Regal met up with Samoa Joe, who is pacing back and forth, and Regal said that while he has to be unbiased, he hopes that Joe goes out there and kicks his ass. Well, that doesn't sound very unbiased to me. But the crowd popped. The crowd enjoyed hearing William Regal let his guard down there for a second. Yeah, Jared in the chat, that's right, I forgot about that. They point out that when Walter was eliminated in that Survivor Series match, that the crowd booed. So there was a good segment of the crowd that night. I don't know where what city that Survivor Series was in. I don't remember offhand. But wherever they were, there was a vocal group in that crowd that did not like it when Walter got eliminated. So I'm telling you, it would not be hard for him to get over. You book him the way that he's been booked in NXT UK and NXT, and just give it some time. And then you put him in the ring with the right opponents, whether it's a veteran or whether it's somebody. I feel like Walter would work really well with the smaller guys. Like, I'm imagining what a Walter Cameron Grimes match would look like. And I feel like that would be a fantastic match. I just feel like he would have so many different people that he could go in there and work with. And he would just, it would be so easy for him to get over in front of that audience. But would they keep an open mind? Are the people who matter and the people in a position of power on that Raw and SmackDown on either brand, would they keep an open mind about somebody like Walter? I don't think they would. But he's already made it very clear that he has no interest in being part of any of that. You know why? Because he has a brain. Because Walter is not dumb. With a name like Walter, how could he be dumb? He sounds like a professor. He sounds like a teacher. I had a teacher once named Walter. He was a very smart man. I'm sure Walter is very smart too. He knows enough to stay away from all that. Adam Cole. Here we go. This is the swan song. We knew that it was coming, regardless of where he ends up. We knew that tonight was probably going to be the final night on NXT for Adam Cole. It just felt that way. This felt like the final chapter for him. And this was the climax to the seemingly never-ending feud between he and Kyle O'Reilly. 2 out of 3 falls. First fall being a straight wrestling match. Second fall being a street fight. And the third fall, if necessary, being a steel cage match. They went at each other right away, right from the opening bell. They went right at each other. Outside the ring, Cole tried to suplex O'Reilly on the ring steps, but that was reversed. And it was Adam Cole who got suplexed on the floor. I wasn't shedding a tear for Adam Cole. I had some dirt in my eye, but if I was shedding a tear for Adam Cole's future, I wouldn't tell you. I would just pretend that I was rubbing some dirt out of my eye, which actually I am. I will shed a tear for Adam Cole if he stays with WWE. But we don't know what his decision is just yet. So anyway, O'Reilly rolls Cole into an ankle lock, and Cole was able to get out of it. He hit O'Reilly with a leg lariat for a near fall. Cole hit O'Reilly with an enziguri, and O'Reilly came back with a rebound discus lariat. And Cole caught him with a super kick, but O'Reilly reversed a Panama Sunrise by sitting down and pinning Adam Cole to win the first fall of this match. This was only 3 minutes in, and he picked up the winning fall. And this, you know, I predicted that Kyle was going to win the first fall. It went exactly the way that I said it would. It went exactly the way that I said it would. On episode 718, I had all my predictions up earlier. I said, Kyle's going to win the first fall. Cole's going to win the second fall. Kyle's going to win the third fall. And this is going to be it. Win, lose, or draw, this is going to be it for Adam Cole and NXT. And that's exactly how this whole thing played out here. But what I hate about this is, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves about these two out of three falls matches, when they do the first fall and it ends in about 2 minutes or 3 minutes. Because when we see Adam Cole in the ring, how many matches have we seen with Adam Cole? To the point of nausea sometimes, because he takes it overboard in a lot of his matches with the constant kickouts and the near falls. It takes all but shooting him with a gun to put this guy down. But yet, here, he gets pinned in 3 minutes because they try to just speed through the first fall to get to the second, to get to the third, and it just makes it so obvious. And that's my biggest pet peeve about these two out of three falls matches that they do. When was the last Adam Cole match that ended that quickly? Give me a break. And it didn't sound to me like the crowd was overly impressed with that either, that first fall ending as quickly as it did. But Kyle goes up 1-0, and that leads to the second fall, which was a street fight. O'Reilly placed a trash can over Adam Cole's head, and he took Cole out with a running drop kick. Back in the ring, O'Reilly tried to climb the ropes, but Cole nailed a super kick. And O'Reilly, he landed hard on his ribs on the apron. And that right there, that injury, was part of the story of the match. That played into really the entire story of the rest of the match was O'Reilly selling his ribs and Adam Cole trying to focus on the midsection. Cole attacked O'Reilly's abdomen with a chair. He propped up a chair in the corner. He was taunting him, but Kyle came back with a right hand. Actually, a series of them. Kyle couldn't follow the attack up, though. He was in too much pain. He was holding his midsection. I mean, maybe he had gas pains. I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't have had that fucking burrito before he went out there for the match tonight. Never a good idea. Never a good idea to have Taco Bell before your match. So Cole tried to whip O'Reilly into the chair, but Kyle rolled out to avoid it. And in doing so, he inadvertently collided ribs first with the ring post as he was trying to get out of the ring and get out of the way. So he injured himself. Back inside, Cole grabbed a kendo stick and he whacked it across O'Reilly's ribs. He was looking to go for the last shot, but instead he opted for another kendo stick shot. Cole hit another kendo stick shot. This time it was a kendo stick assisted backstabber for a two count. He locked on, interestingly enough, he locked on Britt Baker's lockjaw. He actually used Britt Baker's finisher here, and then he used the kendo stick for leverage. Frost in the chat says, hey, I work at Taco Bell. Well, as long as you're not eating it, there's nothing wrong with working there. I just might avoid having that, especially if you work there. You might be tempted to eat Taco Bell every night. walk out of there. You might be 300 pounds. You got to be careful. Cole taunted O'Reilly. He was telling him to stay down, but O'Reilly fired up with right hands, just like a good baby face, right? He won't go down. And Kyle dropped Cole's knee over a chair before hitting a dragon screw into the chair. O'Reilly charged at Cole, and Cole avoided it. Kyle went chest first into the propped up chair in the corner. Adam Cole rolled out to the floor. He wrapped a chain around his fist, but when he looked up, Kyle O'Reilly had done the same. He had the same idea. They laid in some chain-assisted right hands on each other before Cole super-kicked him and got a near fall. Cole propped up some more chairs, and Kyle turned it around and hit an ushigaroshi, which is Cole's move. He went to the top rope. Cole popped up, though, and he dropped him across all of the propped-up chairs. That looked painful. That looked like something that would not have been fun to take. And the last shot followed for the pin. That tied things up, one fall apiece. You knew this was going to go to a third fall. I mean, again, one of the predictable elements about matches like this. So the final fall is a steel cage match. Referees came in to check on Kyle as the cage was being lowered, and Cole continued to attack him. He powerbombed O'Reilly onto the announce desk. Cole brought Kyle back into the ring, and the cage was being lowered. They took forever to get this going. I don't know what the holdup here was. I assume he's fine. You know, Kyle, by the end of the match, Kyle looked fine. Unless he was legitimately hurting for some reason, this seemed to just go on for far too long. It was like, all right, let's get to it. Let's move on here. So O'Reilly got Cole between the ropes and the cage, and he started hitting repeated running forearms, followed by a diving knee drop with Cole draped over the ropes. O'Reilly missed the diving knee, and Cole missed the last shot. O'Reilly hit one of his own for a two count. Cole hit a low blow because he's a heel, and that's what heels do. Started climbing the cage, and O'Reilly popped up. They traded strikes while both were standing on the top rope. And a hard right hand from Adam Cole sent Kyle crashing down to the mat. Cole hit the Panama Sunrise for a near fall, and then he grabs a pair of handcuffs. And if there's one thing I am pretty sick of seeing in wrestling, not more than kendo sticks. I'm pretty sick of seeing kendo sticks, but almost as much as seeing kendo sticks, it's handcuffs. But he brought out a pair of handcuffs, and he cuffed O'Reilly to the top rope, and he started hitting repeated super kicks. O'Reilly, though, caught one of the kicks, and he locked on a heel hook while he was still handcuffed. He locks on a heel hook, and Adam Cole is screaming in pain, and he forces Adam Cole to tap out. Even though there was a kendo stick within reach, for whatever reason, he didn't reach for the kendo stick, and Adam Cole tapped out. The live crowd did not like this finish at all. They made themselves loud and heard that they were not happy about this finish. Loud bullshit chants. I can't remember the last time I actually heard the bullshit chant in the CWC, but we heard it tonight. They also booed loudly when Kyle got his hand raised. So I think it was more a case of, I mean, they may not have liked the finish, but I think it was just more a case of they really like Adam Cole, and they were actually hoping that he would win. They were hoping the heel would win here in this feud, and when he didn't, they booed. Poor Kyle O'Reilly. He didn't seem all that thrilled with the crowd reaction. I thought the finish was just very awkward. I was not a fan of how this match, and honestly, it wasn't just an awkward finish. It was awkward because it seemed like it just ended abruptly. It felt like, okay, this is going to go on for another, you know, 5 minutes in the cage, and then it just ended. So it came out of nowhere. So I was not a fan of them doing the finish the way they did. But the finish was, to me, never in doubt. Like, Adam Cole had to lose this match. This was Kyle O'Reilly's feud to win. And he got his revenge. He got to stand tall in the end. And now the question, of course, becomes what happens with Adam Cole? All the questions now turn to Cole. Everybody's going to be talking about him because Punk is back. Bryan Danielson's not going to show up, most likely, for another month or so. And so now all the questions are going to turn to Adam Cole. And when Adam Cole signs wherever he signs, it'll turn to someone else. It might be Pete Dunne, right? We haven't gotten an update on his contract status, and supposedly his contract was up at the end of the month. We haven't heard anything new about him. PW Insider, as I said, if you tuned in late, I mentioned this at the beginning of the stream, they confirmed tonight that this was Adam Cole's final NXT match. Apparently, I'm seeing reports that Fightful is saying that Adam Cole has not signed any new WWE, you know, contract as of yet. Doesn't mean that he won't, but he has not put pen to paper and signed any new deal as of tonight. But this was his final NXT match no matter what. If he's gone, he would have a no non-compete, because that is a case where when you get released, you got 90 days, or in NXT you had 30 days, you can't go anywhere. If his contract expires, then he's free to do whatever he wants. And what I'm hoping is that Adam Cole will walk out in Milwaukee on Wednesday on Dynamite. He'll go right from TakeOver to Dynamite. Don't even drag this out. Don't even drag this out, right? They had Punk, they waited. They have Brian, they're waiting. They're saving them for the right moments. Sometimes, though, you just need somebody to walk off one show right onto another. Just like the Monday Night Wars. You'd have one guy on. Hell, Rick Rude somehow pulled off an appearance on Raw and Nitro in the same night. I want Adam Cole to just walk right into Milwaukee and show up on Dynamite this Wednesday. I don't even know what you do with him. I haven't even thought that far ahead yet. I just want him to walk out there. He doesn't even have to say a word. Just get people talking. If you're Tony Khan, all you want to do right now is get people talking. They did that with CM Punk. Now you got to keep them talking. That would be one way to keep people talking about AEW. That's where I want to see Adam Cole go. I do not want to see him on the main roster. I would love to be proven wrong. I have no faith. And I would like to see him go to AEW. I feel like that would be a good fit for him. He would do well there. He would thrive there. But I'm telling you, Milwaukee. Milwaukee on Wednesday. Send him on out there. Karrion Kross. Defending the NXT Championship against Samoa Joe. This was Samoa Joe's first match since February of last year. He had concussion issues. Joe has not been in a match since then. We had a chance of We Want Scarlett during Cross's entrance. Scarlett Bordeaux has totally disappeared. Ever since he got called up to Monday Night Raw, we have not seen Scarlett. Or maybe for like a week after that, she was still on NXT. But pretty much since he got called up to the main roster, we have not seen Scarlett. Now, I'm sure they're saving her. They're probably saving her for some kind of big debut on the main roster. As long as she debuts with him, I think it's absolutely ridiculous if they have permanently split them apart. There's no reason to do that. So I'm just going to assume that they're waiting for the right moment. And who knows, maybe on TV this week, she will end up with Cross on Monday Night Raw. But for whatever reason, they have completely taken her off of television. I mean, WWE, the way they act, nothing on NXT seems to matter. So why not just put her on NXT? I don't understand that. They don't seem to give a shit about it. It's almost like what happens in NXT doesn't count in a lot of ways. So what's the harm in sending her out there with him and having her in his corner? So he got peppered by Chance of We Want Scarlett. When the bell rang, he got Chance of Hardy. Poor bastard. He had a Doomsday Saito to Joe and dropped him right on his head and hit a forearm smash at the back of the head, and that sent Joe out to the floor. Cross followed him out, and he sent him into the plexiglass before rolling him back into the ring. Joe fought back. He hit a missile dive through the ropes out to the floor, that forearm smash through the ropes that he used to do in his matches. Back in the ring, Cross hit an exploder suplex for a near fall. And Joe countered a running attack into a power slam for two. Hit a stacked power bomb for another two count before transitioning into an STF. And Cross had to reach the ropes to force the break. Cross came back. He hit a hammerlock knee strike and a DDT for another series of near falls. And Joe finally, he fired back. He came back with an overhead throw. He gave him some breathing room. Joe laid in strikes. Hit a big boot, followed by a running senton for two. He locked on the coquina clutch in the middle of the ring. He got the choke. Cross eventually rolled out of it, locked on the cross jacket. Joe fired up. It looked like Joe was going out. He had blood pouring from his mouth. He was fading. His eyes were shutting. And all of a sudden, like a bolt of lightning, he hulked up. And he powered out of it. broke the hold. Cross, though, hit a forearm to the back of the head, and Joe reversed the clothesline into a Uranage, hit a top rope Enziguri, and he had Cross in perfect position for the muscle buster. We have not seen Samoa Joe bust out the buster. We have not seen him use this move since the unfortunate accident with Tyson Kidd in their match, which I believe was in the summer of 2015. I believe it's been every bit of 5 or 6 years since we have seen Samoa Joe use this move. And Tyson Kidd came within, I mean, he came within not even inches. I think he came within centimeters or millimeters of dying, let alone being a paraplegic for the rest of his life. It was just the nature of that injury. All the wear and tear on his neck and everything, that was the move that just happened to be the final, you know, kind of nail for him. But they said the type of injury that Tyson Kidd had, that was like the Christopher Reeve injury. You know, he was very, very lucky that it didn't kill him or paralyze him for the rest of his life. So after that, all of a sudden, we didn't see the muscle buster anymore. And I'm sure that was a directive on WWE's part not to use the move. And so he adopted the Coquina Clutch as his primary finishing move. It was nice to see the muscle buster again. I enjoyed that. I was not expecting him to use that as the finish. I was actually expecting Cross to kick out. I was surprised he hit the one muscle buster and won with it, but I'm glad he did. Puts the move over. And Samoa Joe, just like that, in about 12 minutes, becomes the first ever three-time. He three-peated. First man in NXT history to three-peat as the NXT champion. This was the shortest TakeOver main event I think that I've ever seen. I mean, can you think of a shorter main event on a TakeOver show? This went 12 minutes. This was very short. I thought this was the weakest match on the entire card outside of the two-minute squash we saw on the kickoff show. And if we're being perfectly fair about this, because I was looking forward to seeing Samoa Joe back in the ring. Samoa Joe did not look good. Samoa Joe did not look good. He looked gassed. He looked exhausted out there. He just did not look great, I didn't think. Now, he also hasn't had a match in about a year and a half. So I think no matter how much training in the ring at the PC and hitting the ropes or whatever it is that he might have been doing in preparation for this match, nothing can really compare to being in the ring and getting reps in the ring and having actual matches with people. So yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll see as the weeks go on and he starts to wrestle more if you know, he gets his win back or whatever. But, you know, Joe is a lot heavier than he used to be. And I'm sure that doesn't help at all. You know, he's gotten older. And when you're laid off like that for a year and a half, you take all of those things combined and he looked tired. I mean, that's just the fact. I don't think he looked good at all tonight. But I am happy to see him with the championship. Because Karrion Kross should not be the NXT champion anymore. Karrion Kross is now on Monday Night Raw. There is no reason for him to continue to carry that title. I don't see Joe having the title for very long. That's part of the reason why I don't mind Joe having the championship again. I almost feel like he may end up being a transitional champion. And just getting that title onto somebody else, possibly even by the next TakeOver show. I don't know that they'll wait more than one or two TakeOvers to get that belt off of him. But there's just something I don't see him being a long-term champion. And he's not the long-term solution. But they had to get that belt off Cross. And Cross looked okay in this match too. I have yet to see a real breakout performance from Karrion Kross. I'm still waiting for him to go out there and have that really great match with somebody. I haven't seen it yet. I think Karrion Kross has a great look. I said that from the moment they signed him. I was hoping they would pick him up. You know, they got to get Killer Kross. They got to get Killer Kross. Now, me, I would have handled things a little bit differently. I actually think when he was in Impact and he was all dressed up in the suit and the tie and everything else and he looked like a hitman, I actually think that was the best role for him. And if it were me, I wouldn't have brought him in to NXT as a wrestler right off the bat. I would have brought him in as a heavy for somebody or a heater. I would have brought him in as a bodyguard for somebody. And have him coming out dressed up like that. And I think that's how you introduce him And then over a period of time, he begins to wrestle, and then you kind of transition him into the ring. I wouldn't have him out there wearing gladiator gear. I don't know what that's about either, but I guess that's a personal choice. So I would have introduced him a little bit differently. But the fact is, we just have not seen him have that match with the right opponent where you turn around and go, wow, that was a great, that was the best Karrion Kross match I've seen yet in WWE. Now, maybe we'll see that from him on the main roster, but there is no match that he has had so far that really stands out. But he looked better than Samoa Joe did in the ring tonight. I mean, that's just a fact. And I'm a Joe fan, but he looked better in there than Samoa Joe did. But now it opens up a whole bunch of possibilities here. You've got possibly Samoa Joe one-on-one against Pete Dunne. I mean, they've been teasing that match. Those two have come face-to-face now about three or four different times on TV and haven't said a word. They just stared each other down. I think that is why Pete Dunne has been kept relatively strong on TV. I think they've been preparing him for a championship match with Samoa Joe. I think we'll get that. I would like to see Joe and Walter. That is the match that I think would be a lot of fun to watch. And that could be where Walter maybe takes the championship off of Joe and Walter begins a new reign. And Joe could be the one that he takes that title from. But he has to come to NXT first. We don't know if Walter is coming in full-time or not to the main NXT brand. But if we don't get Joe against Walter, then what the hell are we even doing here? You've got the NXT UK title off of Walter. You got the NXT title onto Joe. Come on. This writes itself. The setup is right there. You got to do Joe and Walter. You got to do the match. I'm still bummed we didn't get Balor and Walter. We were going to get Balor and Walter at that, Dublin takeover show, and then COVID fucked it all up, and we never got that match. So now we may never get to see Walter and Finn Balor. I think that would have been a great match too. Anyway, that was your NXT TakeOver show. I thought overall it was an excellent night of wrestling. I enjoyed myself a great deal. I think this was, lived up to the reputation that TakeOver has made for itself. Unfortunately, it was not in a bigger building. I wish it was. I wish there were more people in the building, but them's the break sometimes. And everybody else here, based on this Twitter poll, seems like they enjoyed this show too. Look at this, 87% thumbs up, 13% thumbs down, with almost 1,700 votes in so far. And we have another poll going here live in the chat on YouTube. 1,000 votes in, 83% thumbs up, 17% thumbs down. So pretty comparable. Not the highest takeover score I've seen for one of these shows, but the highest score that any of the shows really has gotten all week. Much higher than the SummerSlam score from last night, I can tell you that. SummerSlam was barely a thumbs up on Twitter. Actually, no, I don't know, actually. On Twitter, I think it was a thumbs down. We had a poll going here in the live chat on YouTube. It was getting a very weak thumbs up. So that was a much more polarizing show than this one appears to be. Polarizing, that's a good word for it. It's like John Cena, polarizing. Used to drive me nuts. They would call John Cena controversial. And I would say, there is nothing controversial about John Cena. John Cena, for years, was the least controversial person that you could possibly think of. He is polarizing. Michael Cole, though, would always call him controversial. It would drive me nuts. Drive me nuts, I tell you. You see that little window there? We're going to get your super chats in that window. I'm going to read them. Or maybe not. I don't know if I'll be able to get them. I might not be able to get them on screen here. Well, let's do this. I'll read your super chats this way. How about that? We'll get some music going here. Get a little synthwave action, right? You guys like synthwave. Somebody mentioned Tony Storm in the chat. Yeah, Tony Storm has vanished. Now that SummerSlam is over, there's no reason for her not to be on TV this Friday. Because if the excuse was Tony Storm had no SummerSlam match, so we're not going to put her on TV, which of course begs the question, why'd you debut her in the first place? Well, now SummerSlam's over, so let's get Toni Storm back on TV. I would like to see her back on television. I think it is ridiculous that they put her on TV once and then she disappeared. So it's almost like, you know, she got a win, and I was really happy to see her get a win when I saw her, you know, make her debut, and then she never showed up again. So it's like, what's the point? What is it even going to mean? Is anybody going to remember her when she gets back? I'm not aware of there being any kind of injury or issue that would prevent her from being on the show. So let's get this woman back on TV. Nayef Alsafar dropped $9.99 beginning of the stream tonight. Been hearing a lot all this weekend from Nayef. Showing a lot of support here for the channel. So Nayef, thank you, brother. It means a lot. Tom. No, that's from yesterday. Shout out to Tom anyway. Tom Field. If he's watching. I hope Tom's doing okay. Groovy Goose dropping a super chat. Ryan Spies with the $4.99. Did you see Nick Khan joke about four-hour Raws as someone who does not watch anymore? That sounds great, because I can laugh at everyone else's misery. I have not watched the interview yet. I did see that clip, though. I haven't seen the full 20-minute interview. I'm going to watch it all tomorrow. I did see his comment, though. Obviously, he was being tongue-in-cheek. He better be. The full quote was, he would love to have four-hour Raws and eight-hour SmackDowns. Yeah, I'm sure Fox would love that. Let's just block out 8 hours of our schedule for SmackDown. So he was being funny. He was being a comedian. His point was that the more hours of content that they could have, the more exposure to WWE that they could have, the better. But you would have to be an absolute maniac to want 4 hour Raws and 8 hour SmackDown. Ryan Spies also says, Dakota Kai lost. I hate NXT. So, obviously, he is very upset that Dakota Kai did not end up as the NXT Women's Champion. But, as I said, I have to believe that she's probably on her way to a different show, which is why they didn't do that. Boots. Thank you, brother, for the $3. Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury. Hey, Salomon, sir, I'll catch the replay tomorrow. Got to be up early to get surgery in the morning. Good night, everybody. And as I said to him before, good luck. I hope everything works out okay. I hope it's nothing too serious. Shiesty B with the $5. Buy or sell on a better... Oh! Vic Joseph or Renee Young. Yeah, Renee used to do that a lot, too. I'll take Renee Young shouting that, though, over Vic Joseph. I mean, come on. Who would I rather hear shouting and moaning, oh, Vic Joseph or Renee? I mean, how is that even a question? Also, Finn will beat Roman Reigns for the Universal title. This is not a prediction. It is a spoiler. Brianna, I don't even smoke, but even I needed a cigarette after that Dragunov against Walter match. Frost757, this was certainly a week of wrestling to remember, plus you made bank off Super Chats the last 5 days. I tell you what, the support has blown me away. And it isn't even just the Super Chats. We got so many new subscribers here on the channel. We saw Dancing Nakamura on the screen so many times every time somebody would sub. And some new channel members as well that... this has been a fantastic week for the channel and for the Sound Off, and I think this month, we'll see in a week, but I think this month may end up being our best month ever. I didn't think that we were going to top April. April of this year was our best month ever, but I think we might have done it. And we ain't done yet. We still have Dynamite this week and Rampage. So we still have a couple of more live streams to go before this month is over. Can we get there? Only if you guys show up. Hit that like button. Michael Cuomo, I think Jimmy Smith is not half bad so far. Yeah, I mean, the best thing I can say about Jimmy Smith is he's much better than Adnan Virk. Adnan Virk was just not a good fit for that role. He's a good broadcaster, but he's not a good lead announcer for a WWE show. But Jimmy Smith has been fine. You know, he's not been great, but he's not been terrible. And we'll see over time if he grows on me. You know, we'll see. Somebody asked in the chat, do the content creators get 60% on Super Chats? The content creators get 70%. It is a 70-30 split. So every Super Chat, YouTube YouTube takes 30%, and the content creator gets 70%. So that is the revenue split between YouTube and moi. Temjin Zephyr, I don't know about you, but seeing Joe use the Muscle Buster caused me to mark out. What say you? I enjoyed seeing it. It's been a long time since I've seen him bust out that move. And brought back memories of watching Joe in Impact Wrestling using that move on people. And he used that move on plenty of people who didn't get hurt, so just for the record. Bones Jones, the new NXT sounds similar to the Diva Search. Rodimus Prime dropping $25. There is Dancing Nakamura. Got some new subscribers here on the channel. But yeah, Rodimus Prime says, first off, thanks for everything. Hey, Maze of Lane just subscribed. Therefore, Nakamura will do a dance. Thanks for everything you've done these last few days, putting in that work. That said, great show. But what was the best match of the weekend in your opinion? Was it Ilya against Walter or Seth against Edge? It was Dragunov and Walter. That was the match of the year so far. Match of the year includes the weekend. It includes the month. It includes all of it. So yes, I like that match better than Seth and Edge. And I thought Seth and Edge was an excellent match. I thought Roman Reigns and John Cena had a very good match. But it wasn't no Walter and Ilya Dragunov. Temjin Zephyr. Dragunov Walter 2 certainly delivered. Hell of a match. It's up there with Bate and Walter from TakeOver Cardiff in 2019. Ryan Spies, unironically, cannot wait for Adam Cole against Luther on Dark in a few months. Joshua Cumberbatch just subscribed to the channel. This is the final Solid Monster screwdriver of the weekend. I am putting the Stoli away for a few months after this. I needed it to get through this weekend. Mujtaba Imran just subscribed to the channel. Jonathan Corky dropping $5. Great show. Muscle Buster is back. Also, Dragunov. Walter is match of the year for me. Stevens J. Just chimed in with a sub here on the channel. Thank you, Steven. Ace Conduce. The boys are back in town. Which boys are you referring to? Dalton Castle's boys? You gotta specify what boys you're talking about here. Granny Hell Yeah. With the $10 Super Chat drop. Thanks for all the work this week, Solid Monster. Much appreciated. I still have to find time to listen to the podcast. Yeah, the podcast went up very late today. That probably is the latest I've ever gotten a podcast. That I was so exhausted. And then I wasn't even done putting my notes together because I had to, you know, go back through everything that happened at SummerSlam. What do I want to talk about? What do I not want to talk about? You could have pages of notes from stuff that I cut that I just didn't have time to cover. But we covered a lot of stuff on the podcast today, 2.5 hours worth. So if you didn't see it, it went up at about 5 o'clock today, episode 718. It'll be there waiting for you tomorrow morning. Get on that. Let's see. He also said Ilya's chest was wrecked. I hope Cole goes to AEW and also Muscle Buster. Behind the Friends, or Behind the Fiends, not the Friends, Behind the Fiends, with the $4.99, I think Cole would be the perfect wrestler for AEW to build around going forward. Am I wrong for feeling that way? I don't think you're wrong for feeling that way. I just think, I don't know that I would build around him. I think he can be a player. I don't know that I would build around him right now. NOLA Sports Fan, 1984. gets the Michael Jackson moonwalk from Nakamura. Dada and Boy podcast. Most matches seem to end very anticlimactically. Most matches had me saying, that's it. Match of the night was the UK Championship. Yeah, I definitely felt that way about the Cole and O'Reilly match. I don't think I felt that way about any of the other matches, though. I mean, maybe Joe and Cross just because of how short the match was, but really, it was the Cole-O'Reilly match that ended abruptly. That's why the fans shat all over it, I think. They just weren't happy about that finish. Steven Field, dropping $50. That's that $50 drop from Steven earlier. Thank you, Steven. Walter against Dragunov was one of the 10 greatest matches I've ever seen in my life. The storytelling was great, of the underdog slaying the mighty champion. Curious to see where Walter goes from here. Walter against Joe. Keep up the good work, Solo Monster. Yes, Walter against Samoa Joe for the NXT Championship. That is the match to do. That is the match to build to in a few months. But first, they have to do Joe and Pete Dunne. Samoan Fan 101, whatever happened to Gabriel Dirty Sanchez? Yeah, he hasn't, I haven't heard from him in a while. Hopefully he's doing okay. Oz and Glorious, what does the AC and CF on Punk shoes mean? Young Bucks and Britt Baker dropping huge Adam Cole hints on Twitter. Is this happening? I hope so. I hope so. I got the... Let's get those prayer emojis. Even if you don't believe in prayer. Let's get those prayer emojis in the chat for Adam. For everybody who wants to see Adam Cole leave. And go anywhere else. Whether it's AEW or somewhere else. Let's get those hands clasped together in the chat. Because that, to me, is where he needs to be heading. The AC and the CF, I don't know. I didn't even notice, to be honest with you. I did not even notice that. I wasn't looking at Punk's shoes. So I don't know. I don't know what that is in reference to. Magician Sapphire, Walter against Dragunov was a thing of brutal beauty. I loved every minute of it. Look at all those emojis. By the way, our channel members, you got special emojis that nobody else can use. So let's see some of those, too. Sean Waters dropping five. Loved the show. Felt like it was a series finale of good to excellent NXT takeovers. I'm curious, but also concerned about what is to come. Curious, but concerned is probably how the NXT roster feels right about now. Red Emissary of Darkness, pick one to take. Walter's chop or Kenta's kick? I would take a chop over a kick. But I wouldn't be very happy about it. But I think I would go for the chop over the kick. Lone B. Savon. Great show tonight. Takeover shows are like no other. What are the odds they make the NXT UK Championship the new hardcore championship? Just joking. Not very likely. Red Ranger, Solo Monster going off on bad creative in wrestling is why I've been a fan of his for years. You're the best. Great voice and funny at perfect times. Well, where there is bad creative, you can bet that I'll be here to talk about it. And where there is great wrestling, you can bet that I'll be here to talk about it like this show tonight. Walter Palacios. With the $20 super chat, it baffles me that the same company that gave us SummerSlam can give us TakeOver 36, and NXT is the one in need of fixing. Sean Waters, again, I think Cole goes to AEW. If he stays and goes to the main roster, I would put him on SmackDown. Even though Raw needs stars, I think he would be doomed. Look at Cross, Lee, and even Ricochet. Well, Cross just got there. I'm not writing him off or anything like that. I just think the way they went about debuting him was just fucking dumb. But that does not doom him to eternal damnation, so let's not get carried away. I see Temjin found his favorite member emoji, the traditional WWF scratch logo. Yes, that is one of the new ones I threw in there. That is his new favorite emoji ever, he says. Andrew Kugel dropping $3. Not sure if you mentioned Fez Watley's death. He was a huge wrestling fan. Did you ever listen to Ron and Fez or Opie and Anthony? I would only occasionally listen to Opie and Anthony, not very often. I am aware. I've heard about Ron and Fez. I never listened, so I honestly don't even know who that is. So, Jake Rann, Walter is fat, Dragunov is better and in shape. Well, there you go. Vince McMahon dropping a super chat here on the stream. He also says Samoa Joe against his stomach and trunks was not good. Hulkling 93, I have a saying after every takeover. Still zero bad takeovers. Another thing I love about Walter is he looks vulnerable yet maintains an imposing aura. Marquand 1976. Taco Bell is a proven laxative. So I've heard. Hulkling again, man, you worked hard this week and it's showing with the stubble. Always appreciate your work. Yeah, I haven't shaved all week. I had a friend the other day go, oh, you got to keep it. You got to keep it. I'm so tempted to just shave it all off. Nick Garza. Dropping $10. Sweet Saudi money 6. Please no kendo sticks. Bulu Fatulu. One of our new channel members. What is John Cena's best match in your opinion? Oh. A tough one. He's had a lot of great matches. I'm really fond of that second match, the one in Brooklyn at SummerSlam against AJ Styles. But I'm so partial to the Money in the Bank match with CM Punk in 2011. I think I might go with that one. I might have to go with Punk and Cena. To me, that match, just everything about that match and that building that night was just magic. And Cena was every bit as much a part of that match as Punk was, so that probably would get my vote. What does it look like? Here's a closer look. Let me see here. The Super Chat window is all screwed up, but see, you can't really see it. The stubble, it's light. So it's like very light colored. I'm not going to do the Hollywood Hogan and start dyeing it a different color. I don't know if I'll keep it. We'll see. Who's next? As Goldberg would say, who's next? Adrian Moore. This felt like a final episode vibe to me. You know what this felt like? This felt like the final episode of a season. And next season is going to start with a brand new showrunner. All the showrunners, all the Walking Dead has brought in over the years. So we're going to get a totally new vision, a totally new showrunner, and a brand new season. And I have no idea what to expect. That's what this feels like to me. Actually, speaking of the Walking Dead, apparently it's back tonight. I had no idea. I watched the show, and I had no idea the season was back tonight. I saw it before we went live tonight, so I'm going to have to watch that tomorrow. Quintus Brown with the $5 super chat. Moxley does not have an opponent for All Out. What about Adam Cole? Interesting. That is interesting. Very possible. Look, if Adam Cole walks out in Milwaukee on Dynamite this week, then he'll probably have a match at All Out. Right? So I wouldn't disqualify that as a possibility. But I also could see them maybe bringing in someone else from New Japan, maybe to wrestle him. It's not going to be Tanahashi. But I think Minoru Suzuki is going to be around. I think he's doing some GCW shows, right? He's not in the G1 this year. We've seen them have a match before. I would dig Moxley and Suzuki. It'd be fine with me. Brian Blair dropping $50. Look at this. That's the Vince McMahon super chat. All disappointed about the $100 million that his wife pissed down the drain on her two senatorial campaign. Look at that deep breath. He took that deep breath. You saw that in the super chat? Oh my God. You saw that? He takes that deep breath. He can't even breathe. He can't even breathe. He was so stressed out that night. He couldn't even breathe. He had to take a deep breath. Poor guy. My heart bleeds for him. Theo, it was reported last week that Scarlett is taking time off for personal reasons. So I reported where? I didn't see that report anywhere. It's possible. But I certainly didn't see that report. So let me know where you saw that and I will follow up on that. Adrian Moore, the unofficial theme was End of the Road, Boys to Men. Yes, that was the unofficial theme for TakeOver tonight. Speaking of Suzuki, look who just popped up on screen. There he is. I will murder, says Minoru Suzuki. It's the $1.99 Suzuki chat. Actually, the Suzuki chat is random. You never know when that's going to pop up. Nick Grosso dropping five. According to PW Insider, Becky Lynch is turning heel. Well, I will have to... you know what? I'll tell you what. Let me see if I can check that out right now. We'll get an update here in real time. How about that? Let's see if that is a report. All right, here we go. This is a spoiler. Well, I guess it's already been spoiled, thanks to Nick. But here's an update from Mike Johnson. As of about half an hour ago on PWInsider.com, spoiler, you will never believe who WWE has turned heel. PW Insider has confirmed with multiple WWE sources that Becky Lynch is now a heel. We are told that going forward, Lynch will be positioned as the top heel on SmackDown, initially feuding with Bianca Belair. So there it is. Becky Lynch is a heel on SmackDown. Well, that is certainly a decision to make. I don't know what would have possessed them to make that decision. I just as soon would have turned Bianca Belair heel. And gone back to the Bianca of NXT. So they have chosen to take their most popular female and turn her heel. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. Remember, WWE tried to turn her heel 3 years ago, and that didn't work out too well. But apparently they're going to try. They're going to try again. This is the heel turn that Vince McMahon always wanted for Becky Lynch. Oh, boy. Nightmare Knee with the $5 Super Chat. I was so depressed after SummerSlam that I didn't watch TakeOver. Just wanted to show some love because I never catch you live. Thank you, Nightmare Knee. Ben Cathery. I wonder how CM Punk and Colt Cabana will interact backstage. If only I could be a fly on the wall. Tokes Kazim with the $4.99. I mailed Vince a bag of blank because of that bullshit he pulled on Bianca yesterday. Andrew Atkins. Hey, Solomon, is there any opinions on WWE 2K22 not coming out until March of next year? Well, I don't play any of the WWE games, so personally, I don't really give a shit. But I did see there was a story... that broke, I think it was earlier today, on a video game website, talking about all of the issues, apparently, with 2K and WWE, and that relationship might be coming to an end soon. Apparently, the relationship is very strained, and they had a whole roster for that game, and then WWE went and they fired about half their roster. All of those releases, and now the whole fucking roster in the game is going to have to be updated. I think that's part of why the game is being delayed. I didn't read the whole story. I didn't have time. But I will go back and read that story. I wish I remember the website that had the story. It's some video game website. But things aren't looking too good with the 2K and WWE. They may be parting ways soon enough. Jonathan Corky again. Where do Ciampa and Gargano go with NXT's revamp? Would love Gargano and Roman Reigns and Ciampa McIntyre, but they're short, so Vince would not. I believe this might have been the first takeover in I don't even know how long. without a Ciampa or Gargano match. I don't remember the last time that happened. At least Gargano, I'm pretty sure, has been on all the recent TakeOver shows. It's been a long time since I feel like we have had a TakeOver that both of them missed. So it already, in a way, it already feels like a changing of the guard here. I think they would both make for good veteran presence, you know, a good veteran presence in NXT. Especially if they don't want to go. If they have no aspirations of going to Raw or SmackDown, then keep them in NXT. Because all those guys that you're going to be training that apparently don't know shit about wrestling, you're going to need people around who know shit about wrestling. And two people who know shit about wrestling, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. So they can be as valuable to NXT now as they have ever been. I agree with you. On the main roster, Gargano is done. I mean, Ciampa might have a better chance. I feel like he's a little bit bigger, but they're small guys, and you know how Vince McMahon feels about that. I mean, everybody who works there has talked about it. And you just look at their hiring and their recruitment practices of late, and you don't need to have any kind of backstage mold to tell you what they're looking for. Those two guys don't fit the bill with what they're looking for. So I think their best bet is to stay with NXT for now. I have no idea how long their contracts are for. Elias Rodriguez. Hello, I am Elias. Favorite cereal? Corn Pops. Brian Marquez. Thought the last two matches were a letdown. What are your thoughts? I thought that Cole and O'Reilly was, you know, it was very good. I thought the finish was a letdown. I thought Joe and Cross was very weak. But everything else, I have no complaints about all the other matches on the show. The Women's Championship match, the Million Dollar Championship match, the UK Championship match. I thought it was great. I thought they all delivered. But there was nothing on the show that was bad. That's the thing. There was nothing that I would say was bad about. Christian with the $4.99. Britt beat up Statlander. OC steps in. Adam Cole debuts. All Out women's title match made in Orange Cassidy against Adam Cole. I don't think you have to link them up right away. Just because they're a couple, do they have to be linked together on TV right away? Leather Rebel. Buy or sell, which return thrilled you more? Brett or Punk? Brett or Punk? I mean, that's two totally different things. I mean, Brett didn't come back to wrestle. Well, I guess he did wrestle, but Brett didn't come back as any kind of like full-time wrestler. Brett was past his prime when he came back. That was a thrill in a different way, just to see him back, you know, on television in the company for the first time in so many years. Punk's was a thrill just for the moment itself, just to see the reaction he got. Even Jim Cornette, for God's sakes, who hates everything about AEW, had complimentary things to say about CM Punk's debut and how he can't remember the last time he heard a reaction like that. And think of all the moments that he's been around for it, all the matches with the Midnight Express and everything else. So that speaks volumes. I mean, as a moment, the moment that Punk had was bigger. I can say that as a huge Brett mark, that the moment that Punk had on Friday was bigger than, you know, any single moment that I could think of or return for Brett. I actually remember watching that show. They were in Ohio, I think. I think they were in Dayton when Brett came back on Raw in 2010. Because I think it might have been the same place he won the King of the Ring. And he got a great reaction, but I remember feeling a little like, all right, I thought it would be a little bit more than that. Now, if they were in Canada, I'm sure it would have been. But of the two, I actually have to go with Punk. I don't think there can really be any comparison, to be honest with you. Jose Leanos with the $7. Great week for the channel. Thanks for all the hard work. Have a nice long rest. I'm going to try. I'm so tempted to just, like, use this week as a rest week. But I feel like we're heading into another week where, you know, I could already see it with AEW and all the rumors that are going around about who might show up and everything. And now this Nick Khan interview I'm going to go watch. It's like, this never-ending cycle of news, and I always have anxiety that I'm going to fall behind, so I'll try to sleep in a little bit, but I doubt I'm going to get much rest this week. Exercise and Freedom. Bring back RSPW Rewind. It's the next episode is coming soon. I'm actually working on picking out the posts for the next one. I just like to spread them out because there's only so many posts left that I haven't already gone through. So you gotta be very careful with how often you do them, or else you'll run out of content for it. But RSPW is not dead. RSPW is still very much alive. There'll be a new episode coming soon here to the channel. Lone B. Savon. Cole can stay in WWE and become the new Shawn Michaels. He has everything that Vince likes except size. He is over. He'll get lost in the shuffle in AEW. You have a lot more faith in Vince McMahon liking Adam Cole than I do. Adam Cole could be a Shawn Michaels type. I mean, he idolizes Shawn Michaels. One of the things he loves about being in NXT is the fact that he could work with Shawn Michaels. So, again, I don't think this is an easy decision for him to make. I think he sees that he's got really great options available to him, but there may be a certain comfort level in WWE that he doesn't want to leave. I don't know that it's just a money issue with him. So I'm sure it's not an easy decision for him to make. I think it's an easy decision. I think the decision is very easy. I think the decision is leave. Get out. That's the decision. Ryan Spies, according to PW Insider, Becky is a heel again. Yes, we just saw that. Food Hive, keep up the great work. Trust that we know you're tired with work. Podcast and the streams truly motivates me to work hard and listen. Thank you. Juan Ocampo. Yeah, I'm hoping that... Got the other job, too. And I'm hoping that this is a relatively quiet week. Got some client stuff that might actually bubble up this week. So even if the podcast stuff dies down, I'm sure I'm going to be getting it for one way or the other. I'm going to be getting it. Oh, boy. Juan Ocampo, I was at the United Center for my first ever wrestling event. The pop alone was worth the price of my ticket. Here's another Bud Light for the chat. Yeah, I have to say, I am jealous of everybody who was in the building on Friday and had the chance to be part of that. It's those kind of moments when you're there live that you kind of look forward to, right, as a wrestling fan. I've had the pleasure of being in the building for some great moments like that. In fact, probably the best one that I could think of. I mean, I was in the building the night Brock Lesnar came back, the night after WrestleMania 28 in Miami, and the place went nuts for him. I was in the building for a lot of really cool moments. I was in the building at WrestleMania when Daniel Bryan tapped out Batista and won the championship. I still have some of the confetti saved from that fell from the ceiling that night in New Orleans. But probably, if not the best, one of the best singular moments that I had the pleasure of being live for in the building was the night after WrestleMania 29. And that was at the Izod Center in New Jersey, the Meadowlands. And Dolph Ziggler came out to cash in his money in the bank on Alberto Del Dipshit. And the building shook. People were so pumped and ready to see this guy cash in and win the championship. And they did a short match, and they had this one great near fall. I think Del Rio gave him, an enziguri to the back of the head. And people thought that was it. And then Dolph kicked out. When he hit the zigzag and he got the pin, and I filmed it with my phone, and you could see, it shook. The building shook. People were so happy to see him win that championship. It was so loud in the building. It was the peak of Dolph Ziggler. It was the peak of his career. So when you're able to be in the building there live for moments like that where the building actually shakes, you can't beat that. There's nothing like that. Other than, maybe being in the stadium if your baseball team wins the World Series or something. It's kind of like that, where you can feel the foundation of the stadium actually rumbling and shaking underneath your feet. Tuxedo Servo. If Cole debuts this week for AEW, and counting Punk this past week, and Danielson in New York, is that the best month of debuts since the NWO? Absolutely. When have we had a period like this where so many people were available or becoming available and either going or possibly going to another company, and there's these moves back and forth. I can't think of the last time we've even had something like this. You know, TNA ended up signing a lot of ex-WWE guys and big names, but it wasn't like one right after the other, and it didn't make like a big impact, no pun intended. It didn't make a big impact like this the way it is with AEW. AEW has all the momentum right now. I mean, they have all the momentum on their side. And it makes, if you're a fan, it makes for a very exciting time period. But it has not been like this since the Monday Night War period, when you had the NWO and all those guys jumping back and forth, and you never knew who was going to show up on Nitro one week, or Raw, when you would put the TV on. This is the closest thing that we have had in 20-plus years to anything like this. There's a reason why people are really excited, you know, and it's really cool and exciting even for me to be able to cover it. I don't know where some of these people are going to land. I mean, I'm sure Brian will be in AEW. But where's Adam Cole going to go? Where's Bray Wyatt going to end up? And is there other people that maybe we're not thinking of? I mean, it's an exciting time right now to be a wrestling fan. It really is. Elias Rodriguez, Sweet Saudi Money 6, turning tricks for the Saudi Prince. Eagle Shadow 93, Sweet Saudi Money 6, no new tricks. I like how those came in one right after the other from two totally different people. Brian Blair dropped that $50 a little while ago. As you would say, an excellent show. Even a decent takeover show seems to always be better than any main roster show. Yet Dick Khan wants to make changes to the product. Well, as he said, it is a collaboration of himself and Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn and Paul Levesque. So it is a group effort to make these changes. Devin from New Jersey, Sweet Saudi 6, ignoring real world conflicts. I think we could do better than that. Jaron Balor, favorite Walking Dead moment or episode? And character, he said. Well, Negan is probably my favorite character on The Walking Dead. Actually, you know what? I love the Governor. I might actually say the Governor over Negan. My favorite moment? It's funny using the word favorite. I can think of certain episodes that really bothered me. So I don't know if I would call them my favorite. But there are certain episodes that scarred me or just made me very sad and ruined my day. One of them is, you know, Look at the Flowers, right? That whole... If you're a Walking Dead fan, you know what I'm referring to. Look at the Flowers is definitely one of them. When Dale died... fuck it. I mean, if you haven't watched The Walking Dead by now, you're not going to watch it. When Dale died, that broke me up. And the way in which he died... And then without spoiling this, because this to me was the most shocking thing I've ever seen on television, other than how bad Monday Night Raw is, was the opening episode to one of the recent seasons where Negan had the bat and you know the rest. That bothered me all week. Like, that legitimately bothered me, watching that episode. Like, that upset me a lot. So. Savon Watson. Been a fan for a while and have been following since 2013. Finally decided to become a member. Lone BWE Savon is me. By the way, apparently I have two such accounts. I can tell because the names are different between the two accounts. But welcome to our Sound Off family here on YouTube. I am happy to have you. I'm happy for your support. Yeah, Temjin says, one of the main characters in that episode I was referring to was killed, and I won't say who, but yes. I know some people who actually stopped watching the show after that happened. They were upset enough that they actually just stopped watching the show at that point. Brian H. DeGreenboy. Some of these names. You guys are too much. What's up, Solomonster? This is very random, but buy or sell. Paul London in his prime against Matt Jackson? Or Brian Kendrick in his prime against Nick Jackson? Thanks for all your amazing content. Huge fan. There's something about Matt Jackson that just annoys me. I'm going to say Nick Jackson and Brian Kendrick. I think would have been a great match. Bulu Fatulu, buy or sell, Predator or Terminator 2? Terminator 2. It's one of the best movies ever made. Samoan fan. As I recall, Joe last used the Muscle Buster against Nakamura at TakeOver Toronto in 2016. Also, could CM Punk doing matches in Impact be interesting? Not to me. I have no interest in seeing CM Punk in Impact. It doesn't, it's not going to get me to watch Impact, so I don't really have any interest at all in seeing him do that. I would not use CM Punk in Impact. You've got a lot of people on the AEW roster, including Christian Cage right now, who's the champion, who could be working matches and who will probably be doing some matches in Impact. I would not put Punk on Impact. I would save Punk. Punk should feel special. I would not put him on Impact. I don't think he'd want to go anyway. Hulkling 93, is there audio of your Hulkamania and now Solomonster belt promos? No, there's just video. There's only video of those promos. He's referring to the bigger super chats where you have the videos of me that pop up. Those are video only, no audio. KC to most, how about a match of the week segment every week? It's possible. I'm open to that as an idea. Nick Garza, if Bret Hart did not have to retire, how long do you think he would have wrestled? Well, how old was he when he retired? He retired in 2000, right? So he would have been, I don't know, probably mid-40s at that point. If he would have stayed healthy, I think Bret could have gone at least, probably could have gone another 10 years if he wanted to. He would have wrestled less and less. He would have been more of a special attraction type, but you could have gotten another decade out of Bret Hart. He could have worked with Kurt Angle and Randy Orton and, oh my God, all the matches he could have had. It's depressing to even think about. Fuck Bill Goldberg. Jonathan Corky. With all the WWE talent news, it makes AJ Styles even more impressive. As a big 2018 NXT guy, I know how the 2014 NXT people now feel. Samuel Heron. I really hope the change to NXT does not make it go back to the game show format. Hopefully it might be like OVW with all of the new talent. Jaren in the chat wants to know if I saw the press conference with CM Punk and Tony Khan. I did, and I talked about that, actually, on today's podcast, episode 718, so you can head on over and check that out. That clip will be hitting the YouTube channel tomorrow. Nick Garza again. Sweet Saudi Money 6, you're better off watching Netflix. That is undoubtedly true. Oz and Glorious, who is worse and should be removed from television sooner? QT Marshall or Eugene on The Walking Dead? Tough call. Beth was the saddest in my opinion, he says. Definitely QT Marshall. Get him off my TV. King of Doug style. Sweet Saudi Money 6, part-timers for the Prince. Food Hive, Sweet Saudi Money 6, I can't take this. And finally, I think we're all caught up with this one, Juan Ocampo. Best nickname chat, Alberto Del Dip or Kenny Olivier? Alberto Del Dip. I like that one better. So there we go. All caught up on your super chats, as I said. I will read each and every single one, and that is exactly what we have done here. We are up over 400 likes, which is awesome. Let's see if we can get a few more. Maybe we could tick that up to 500, maybe. So thank you for all of the look at this. All of the support this weekend has been incredible. You guys have made it all worthwhile. We have grown the channel this weekend more than I even expected to. And hopefully this will continue because there's going to be a lot of other fun stuff coming up. It's just because this weekend is over doesn't mean that all of the surprises are over. AEW sounds like they've got a few more things up their sleeve. And, of course, All Out is coming up in a few weeks, and I'll be covering that live on the channel as well. We'll keep on, you know, doing the Rampage reviews on the channel for a little while longer, and we'll see if that becomes a permanent thing. My whole plan was to do the first few weeks of the show. I didn't necessarily commit to doing the weekly Friday streams, but I have a feeling that I'm probably going to end up doing them. Especially if you guys want them to continue, we can hang out on Fridays as well as Wednesdays. Bulu Fatulu, buy or sell the governor or Walter White, better villain? The governor. Will Robb dropping $10. Greetings and salutations, Solomon. You sound like Keith Lee now. How about this for a tagline in the upcoming Saudi show? Sweet Saudi Money 6, even with cutbacks, as good as it gets. I'll give that a 4 out of 10, as Bret Hart would say. I think we can improve upon that. Luis is joining us. Look at this. Luis may actually get the last word in here. Dropping $2. Screw Bill Goldberg, he says. Well, we have one vote in the chat from D Spaceman, who says no Rampage review is fine. Okay, so he prefers no Rampage review. Lakers Pats in the chat says, can't wait to see you tomorrow night for the Raw review. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. KC says, I'm still waiting on that Solomonster ringtone. We're a couple of losers. Is that the Pete Rose line from WrestleMania? When he was healing on the Boston crowd, all the Boston fans. He left tickets for Bill Buckner, but he couldn't bend over to pick him up. How about it? Pete was great. Pete's a perv. But in that segment, Pete was great. Thank you, Tuxedo. Tuxedo says, if you do a Rampage review, I will be here. Thank you. TD, thank you. It's very nice of you. Nick Garza says, there is a Solomonster soundboard. Is there? Should try to put one together. Yeah, the thing with Rampage, Andre, you know, mentions that Rampage is a short show. I guess the only problem is it's a late show. So, you know, you don't go live until 11, and but it is a short show. It's only an hour long. I could probably knock out those reviews in you know, half an hour to 40 minutes. But usually we end up having fun and hanging out and stuff, or I'm checking out the chat like I am right now. Oz and Glorious. Rampage review is great, and I hope it sticks around. We still need more members in the Discord. That's right. Every time we get a new member, by the way, I think a lot of them are just not aware, or maybe they're just not on Discord. But those folks who join as channel members, you are, you know, part of that is getting access to the Discord. But you got to let me know, because I got to share a specific link to get you in there. So it's growing. It's growing slowly because I got in late on the Discord game. But you do have access to that if you are a channel member. And Will Robb, you took the words right out of my mouth. I listened to Jim Cornette's podcast. I was shocked at the compliments that Jim and Brian gave Punk and AEW. It felt like hell froze over when I heard about that. I had to hear it with my own ears, and there it was, Cornette saying, well, they didn't do it the way that I would have done it. They did it better. He said it was perfect. When was the last time he ever said anything that complimentary about AEW? So you know they hit a home run if he's happy with it. Food Hive says, Discord? Put me in there ASAP. Well, Food Hive, do me a favor. send me a message either on Twitter or email. Otherwise, I might forget here, but I'll send you the link. We got to get you in there. We got to get you in the Discord. Paul Heyman, if you're AEW, would you bring in Adam Cole and Bobby Fish together as a team? Absolutely not. AEW does not need Bobby Fish. And I certainly would not bring him in with Adam Cole. So, unequivocally, the answer is no. They do not need Bobby Fish. What is the most worthless title in what is the most worthless title in wrestling right now? Um, 24/7 would be too easy for me to say that. The most useless championship in wrestling right now? Well, I'm gonna think in terms of WWE. It might well be. I don't even count the 24/7 title. I mean, it's such a joke. The whole point is that it's a joke belt. It pains me to say this. It might be the Intercontinental title. Yeah, I know they put it on Nakamura, and it kind of gives me hope that maybe they'll start doing something with it. But Apollo Crews had such a terrible reign. They beat him every week on TV, and he was the Intercontinental champion. That's how they treat some of their titles. It's disgusting. So the Intercontinental doesn't really have a whole lot of value at the moment. Oz and Glorious just dropped $5. Speaking of Tarantino, about to finish Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, a novel. Any suggestions on how I can get the audiobook on you, Solemn Monster? Well, if it's on Audible, then usually you can use our link to get it. Our Audible link is audibletrial.com/solemnmonster. However, the link is down because Audible is overhauling their their entire platform. So I got a whole notice from them the other day saying it's going to be down for a while. We'll let you know. And, you know, we're going to work out a system to compensate what we think you're owed. I can only imagine what that's going to look like. So at the moment, the Audible link does not work. But it should be back up very soon. And if the Tarantino book is on there, you can get it for free just by using our link. So just hold out a little bit, and we'll try to get that taken care of. Ultimate Elite says women's tag is absolutely the most worthless. You know what? I completely forgot about that. That right there tells you how worthless it is. I legitimately forgot about that. But I'll do you one better. I will do you one better. Even more worthless then the WWE Women's Tag Team titles are the NXT Women's Tag Team titles. I said from the beginning that there was no need for them to have their own tag team titles. I liked it when the women's tag belts floated from show to show. There was no need for NXT to have their own women's tag team belts. I know they have a strong division down there, but those belts were completely unnecessary. And I have so far been proven correct. Because the belt, I almost forgot that the belts were even on Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. Those are more worthless at this moment than the belts that Natty and Tamina have. At least they're featured. So the NXT Women's Tag Team titles, you know what? That gets my vote. Those right now are the most worthless. I said from the very beginning that was a mistake. They were not needed. It was unnecessary. And so far, I have been proven right. No, I don't think Io or Zoe, I don't think Io and Zoe have defended them once yet. I don't know what the point is of even having them on them. Apparently everybody in the chat just realized the same thing, that NXT has women's tag team titles. You would never know. Watch Joker on Monday night instead of Raw. Yeah, I will. I have to do that. I have to watch Joker. I still haven't seen it. The $1 million belt might join the conversation. I disagree. I think the $1 million belt is going to go away. And up to this point, the $1 million belt had more value than the women's tag belts in NXT. Because at least it was featured in a program on the television show. And it built to a great payoff tonight with Cameron Grimes. So there has been more value in that belt than there has been in the tag belts. But I think that belt is going to go away. There's no need to keep it around. If the Jumping Bomb Angels and Minami Toyota came up today, where would you put them, Solid Monster? I would put them anywhere but WWE. Anywhere but WWE. Boot Hive wants to know if we end with the WrestleMania GIF. We do not. We do not on this stream. I don't have it set up anyway in this scene collection in OBS. So even if I wanted to do it, I don't have it available right now. That's an AEW thing. We do that on all the AEW streams. See Moonsault, what if Bert Hurt came to NXT in his... Bert Hurt? Who the fuck is Bert Hurt? I don't know who that is. You better not be talking about who I think you're talking about. You better put some respect on that name. Bert Hurt. I mean, I've heard some botches of Bret's name before. Michael Buffer called him Bret Clark once. He announced him as Bret Clark on WCW. I mean, the disrespect was just ridiculous. That's a new one. That's one I've not seen before. Does Cole have to serve 30 days no compete clause? No, because if his deal expires, then he's free and clear to do whatever he wants. A non-compete would not apply if your contract just expired. And by all accounts, that's the case with him. I think we've created a new star here. Bert Hurt apparently is going to be a new star. All right, Mr. J is headed out. I think I'm going to head out too. This has been fun, guys. It's 1 a.m., so I'm going to try to wrap up all the editing here so I can get the audio of this up tomorrow morning, those of you who want to listen to it. And I will be back with you on Wednesday night. We get to come back and do it all over again live after AEW Dynamite. CM Punk makes his first appearance on Dynamite in Milwaukee. And who knows, will Adam Cole perhaps make an appearance on the show? Very possible. I'm hoping for it. That's what I'm pulling for. So I'll be back live with you then. If you missed it, because it did go up very late today, please go back and check out episode 718. We got up to number 12 on the top 50. The top 50 or top 100? I think it might have been the top 100. Of all wrestling podcasts on all of Apple Podcasts, which is by far the biggest podcasting platform out there, we got up to number 12 last week. The Sound Off was right between all those Conrad shows. Conrad's got like 28 different podcasts with 28 different wrestlers. I was between the WWE's New Day podcast and the Arn Anderson podcast that Conrad does with Arn. So that was pretty cool, but I think we could do even better than that. I think we might be able to crack the top 10 this week. So the only way we do that is if you guys download and stream and tune into the audio show, preferably in Apple Podcasts, if that is the platform of choice. And we'll see if we can work our way up the rankings. I mean, we had so many shows go up this week, plus 718 today. I think we have a shot. I think we might actually crack the top 10 this week, but that doesn't happen without you guys. So be well, stay safe. Thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for all the Super Chat love. Thank you for all of the subscriptions and memberships. And hit that like button if you would on your way out. And do me another favor, actually. I have a special message that I'd like for you to take a look at on your way out. Take a look at this.
The Sala Monster sounds off.
Imagine if there was an NXT in 1990 and Mark Calloway finally found a gimmick that worked for him. He starts dressing like The Undertaker. He looks like a star. And then one day, he gets the call that every wrestler waits for. He's been booked for the Superstars taping. Only when he gets to the building, there's no smoke machine. There's no Paul Bearer. There's no urn. They've completely stripped away all the elements that made The Undertaker work. And then they book him in his very first match to be rolled up and pinned by fucking Hillbilly Jim. If these people booked television back then the way they do now, they would have been lucky to have any stars.
The Salamonster Sounds Off, available wherever you hear podcasts, including iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and now Pandora.
Want more content?
Visit YouTube.com/TheSalamonster for Sound Off extras and more. And follow The Salamonster on Twitter, @Salamonster.
Salamonster.
Salamonster.
Put that cigarette out.
Salamonster Sounds Off.